This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, here we go. 6 o'clock. It is a Tuesday morning. Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Perhaps CBS Sports Network, we certainly hope so. I look fantastic today. Boomer looks chipper and handsome as usual, and away we go. And by the way, before we even get started, a big congratulations to one Boomer Esiason to my right, because while yesterday was a little bit about baseball, we had the Yankees, the Mets, which we don't discuss too much anymore, there was a lot of football discussed yesterday, specifically about one Sam Darnold, who was not signed yesterday at this time. He was not signed at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or even when we left at 10 o'clock. And then I get home after Boomer bitched and complained about it all morning, and guess who got signed yesterday? Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jerry, and I'm happy for the Jets, and I'm certainly very happy for Sam Darnold because he was being made out to be something that he wasn't, and that was selfish. He was just doing exactly what his agent had been telling him to do, and he did not want to sign a contract that nobody else had to sign. And I tried to explain that yesterday morning, and, you know, cooler heads prevailed. Mike Maccagnan and the Jets took away some of the demands that they had asked him to sign initially. They gave him the money up front in the first 15 days, which is usually it's unheard of these days. But at the end of the day, like I was saying yesterday, if you trade for this guy and he is supposed to be the face of the franchise and he is going to be your future, then guess what? Then at the end of the day, he has got to be in camp day one. Now, he's only missed a couple days, and yeah, they're going to make it sound like he's missed a lot. He didn't really miss all that much. He's missing some redundancy of what he has already learned, and he'll have to relearn it again, and he'll have to start to feel more and more and more comfortable. And today, lo and behold, happens to be a Jet day off. So he will probably get extra tutelage today, I would imagine. He's probably been chomping at the bit to get in there. But, you know, the thing that I was trying to tell you yesterday, the reason why you want all your players in, especially your new starting quarterback, what I will think will be your new starting quarterback eventually and be the face of your franchise, is you just want him to get comfortable with everything. You want him to understand where his locker is, who he's going to have some lunch with, who all the coaches are, who the front office people are. He has to really start fitting in and feeling like he belongs. And so when you have these idiotic contract impasses for no apparent reason, you basically are hurting your football team. You're pissing off your fan base, and you're basically looking, you know, foolish for not having your guy in there. So I'm glad they got it done yesterday. I knew it was coming. I felt like it was close, but I also felt like the Jets had to come off of some of their ridiculous demands within the contract because no other player had to sign something quite like that. And now there's only one player, and that's Roquan Smith in Chicago, and he's dealing with the same nonsense. I mean, if you want the guy to be your next great linebacker, pass rusher, whatever, the inside and the heart and soul of your defense, get him in there.
Yep.
And stop with the nonsense. I mean, why are 31 other first-round draft choices signed? I mean, this is not that hard.
Especially now with the way the contracts are written up for rookies.
Right. Now, the one thing I will say, every rookie and every situation is different, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you get to know these players, you know their background. Hopefully you are doing the due diligence that is required to know exactly whatever has gone on in their past. So if there is a past, or if Roquan Smith has a past that we don't know about, but only the Chicago Bears know about, and they want to protect themselves against something that may happen, I get it. I would have said the same thing about Sam Darnold. If there is something in his background that we don't know about, and the Jets know about it, and they want to protect themselves, I get that. I don't think either one of these players have any issues in their backgrounds. I haven't seen anything. I haven't read anything. So both of the players should be there. Roquan Smith should be there. By the way, Roquan Smith, I think, has missed like either 10 or 12 practices.
They started earlier because they play the Hall of Fame game.
That's exactly right. So the other thing, too, that happens now because of training camp and everything else, you start the first thing I do when I wake up is I look and I scour the injury waiver wire or the injury transaction wire because so many guys are going down. And it looks like the Green Bay Packers lost a linebacker yesterday for the season, and that's like the last thing that they can ill afford. So this is wild times in the NFL, but you know, for this guy here, I'm happy that Sam Darnold is in camp and ready to roll. And he got his first practice yesterday, got a little taste of the razzing that comes along with being the high-paid rookie and holding out. Players gave it to him a little bit yesterday, so do the coaches. But that's part of the process, and he'll learn to deal with it. He'll be a big boy, and before you know it, I think he'll be under center starting. I don't know when that will happen. I'm assuming that it's probably going to happen within the first five games of the season. That's what I would think.
Before we move on to any of the baseball, so what does this mean now for a guy like Sam Darnold? He comes in, he's missed 3 days. We've talked about it already. He missed some film work. He missed a couple of practices. Is it that big a deal, or how quickly? You say he'll spend the day probably watching film today. How fast is he caught up?
Well, he'll catch up pretty quickly. He's a pretty smart kid, and most of the stuff that they're putting in right now is kind of an extension of their OTA. So there's a little bit of redundancy. You know, he stayed right across the street at the hotel that they built over there, the Archer, I think it's called. And, you know, so he was around. I'm sure he was getting the playbooks. I'm sure, you know, everybody carries an iPad now, so it's not hard to email him stuff. And I think he probably is okay. I think just for him, it would have been nice to be able to come in day one, get your locker, find out where everything is, get acclimated to what's going on, be a part of the team from the first practice moving forward. So those are some of the things that he missed. But, you know, look, this kid is far advanced. He's going to be fine. And I think that, you know, I don't know if he'll play in the first preseason game. I don't know if they'll feel comfortable enough to put him out there. But at the end of the day, he's in. He missed 3 days. Today he'll catch up a little bit with everybody else having a day off. And away we go. And I was really happy to hear about that yesterday. Yep. The whole thing was so stupid. It didn't make any sense. So I'm glad that McCagnan and the Jets came to their senses. And Sam Darnold and his agents are going to, you know, they agreed to the offset language. I told you that wasn't the part of the deal that was driving everybody crazy. It was driving everybody crazy with some of the other clauses in the contract. And plus the way the money was being paid out to him. So right now in Jetland is really good. The defense looks great on the field. You know, this is going to be the third year for Darren Lee, the fourth year for for the defensive lineman, the first round
like Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams,
yeah, you got Marcus May, you got a bunch of really good young, I mean, just energetic in your face. So Jamal Adams to me is really going to be the face of the defense. It sounds like he is going to be the leader, and I love the fact that during this off season when he was going back and forth with the tweets of Le'Veon Bell, that you watch Le'Veon Bell will be wearing green next year, assuming he doesn't get hurt.
Well, and especially if, you know, they have what I believe is going to be a decent season. I know they're coming off a couple of bad years, but you look at the talent on this team now, you think they have their franchise quarterback. Beyond that, you've got a professional in McCown who's going to start, you think, to start the season. Bridgewater has upside if he doesn't get traded. Like, there's a lot to like right now.
I could see
Jets.
Bridgewater being here next year and McCown no longer being here. And then that
one
10
or the other.
And that $10 million that they're paying him this year to be the babysitter and to be the leader coming out of training camp and all that other stuff will then be used to sign either Le'Veon Bell or whoever else will be available as a free agent. And that would excite me. And this is basically that now the Jets are going into the legitimate area where if your young guy hits, the amount of money that you have to pay him over the next 3 years will allow you to go out and support him by paying other players.
Right, before you have to pay
before
him the real money.
Pay him the real money. So this will be it. This is the time now. This is the time for the Jets. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night. They have got to be like where Houston is today, where Kansas City is today, where the Chicago Bears are today. That's where they have to be next year at this time. They have to have a seasoned second-year quarterback who has basically wet his feet. He has gotten through the ups and the downs. So when he comes back to training camp next year at this time, he is going to be the unquestioned leader of the football team.
Why is it when I was growing up and you were playing, why was it that the starter, when they were drafted, it was really a given that they sat a couple of years, in some cases more. Now, there were some that didn't. But a lot of the really good quarterbacks sat, watched. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers did not play for how many years sitting
behind
Brett Favre?
Though. I mean, and, you know, going into that draft, the Packers never in their wildest dreams thought that, you know, Aaron Rodgers was going to be there when they selected him.
What, 30 or something?
Yeah, they thought he was going to be a top 10 pick. Right. Most people did. And he dropped and he dropped and he dropped and he dropped.
And he was pissed about it.
Of course, I went through the same thing. Right. So I know exactly how he felt. As a matter of fact, I reached out to him and said, again, remember, it's not about your first contract, that it's your second contract that validates you as an NFL football player. So, and certainly has lived up to that. But I just think that nowadays, because of the rules, the way the rules are in the league, it's a little bit easier completing passes. The offenses have changed. They're more spread-oriented. There's a lot of completions behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. You know, back in the day, it was hand-to-hand combat down the field. Defenses got away with a lot more. They were allowed to hit you differently than they hit you today, although hitting you today still is very significant, like we were talking about yesterday. But I just think that there's more expectations because of the money that's involved. Now, there was a point there where guys were making $50 million when they were coming out of college.
Which was absurd because of how many didn't stick.
That's right. And they were expected to play because of that money as the money got bigger and bigger and bigger. I just think today, like, you know, these kids, you know, if you're playing in the Big 12, the Pac-10, the Big 10, you know, whatever it may be, you know, the SEC, I mean, I think the advancement in college football is so great that there is an expectation that the kid has got to play and he's got to play soon, because you got to catch it while the iron's hot. Look at what Philadelphia did last year. So they went all the way to the Super Bowl, and you know, Carson Wentz was basically the MVP of the NFL until he blew his knee out against the Rams. And what year was that for Carson Wentz? That was his second year.
Yeah.
Why? Because, you know what? They rolled the dice and said, we're going to trade Sam Bradford to Minnesota the year before. Carson Wentz is out turkey hunting somewhere. And a week before the season started, they called him and said, hey, Carson, by the way, you're the starting quarterback. Hey, Carson was like, okay, I got it. Let me go, you know, shoot my turkeys. And you know, I'll be in tomorrow and I'll get the game plan. So these kids are a little bit more advanced, I think, nowadays than they were back in the day. So I'm stoked for Sam, and I'm happy for the Jets. And now they can get moving on, and they got their draft pick in camp, and now hopefully everything works out for them.
And games will start for the Jets next weekend, which is amazing. Next Friday, you'll get your first preseason game, and here comes football as we hit August tomorrow, which is great. Before we break, and we'll get LaPresti, and we'll get all the details, but trade deadline day in baseball, we'll do a lot of this throughout the day, I would think, maybe not. But notable because the Yankees did make a couple of moves yesterday. The Mets did not trade Zach Wheeler, not yet. I don't think they're going to. Everything you read, 4 p.m.
4 p.m. today
is the deadline. But a couple of notable deals for the Yankees. One, you know, they go out, they get Lance Lynn, who was in Minnesota. Now, Lance Lynn, if I remember correctly, was one of those guys that didn't sign until late. Had trouble, I don't know, he had trouble finding a team, but he ends up going to Minnesota. Has not had a great season by any stretch. Lance Lynn with St. Louis was a damn good pitcher. He's been okay in Minnesota, but specifically lately has been better. So they go out and get Lynn. My first thought was, all right, well, they got another starter. And what I'm reading today is it looks more like Lynn will start with the Yankees out of the bullpen and be more of a reliever type, but a guy that's got a great track record as a starter. Now, they give up Tyler Austin. I know a kid you liked, for sure.
Sure. I think a lot of people liked him.
Right, and they give up.
But there's no place for him to play.
Correct. So you look at what they did, what they gave up, what they get back. I like the move. They sent Adam Warren to Seattle. Okay.
I also like Adam Warren.
That's fine.
I mean, you know, the interesting thing here is there have been a busier guy than Brian Cashman over the last two and a half weeks. Holy crap.
He's like, not rested.
No, he's not. And he's doing a number of things. Okay. So he's acquiring international pool money.
Yep.
That's important for the Yankees.
In the Warren trade.
Right, right. I don't know why it's not important for the Mets. Remember when the Mets got that in the Familia trade? And everybody's like, oh, it's just a throw-in. Yeah, but when the Yankees do it, all of a sudden, it's so important.
It's part of the story.
Why? Because they don't have high draft picks. And this way, they got to go out and spend their money and get these kids, you know, when they're 16 years old. Okay, that's fine. My initial thought about signing Lance Lynn is, all right, what is going on with Luis Severino? That was my original thought.
Hasn't pitched well.
Like, are they going to put him on the DL? They're going to shut him down for a while. They're going to give him a start here or a start there off and kind of get him back to where he was prior to the All-Star game. That was my original thought. Now, when you read the after the effects of the trade and that he's going to be in the bullpen and all this other stuff, okay, fine. I still think that there's something going on with Severino. I'm not saying he's hurt. I'm just saying that, you know, he's got maybe a little dead arm. Maybe things are not perfect for him right now, and maybe the best thing for him is to give him a stint on the DL to give him a break. That's what I originally thought. So you have you've added a starter person, a starter type pitcher, and you got to put him in the bullpen, to me, he's going to make a start here or there for somebody.
Right, which is why it's a good move.
Right, it is a good move, and because, look, I think they just are so worried about potential injuries to either CC Sabathia or Tanaka and the inconsistency of Sonny Gray, that if you can add a guy that could actually give you a spot start here or there, that's just refortifying your pitching staff. So I think Brian Cashman, you know, I'll give him an okay grade. I'll give him a passing grade on doing what he's doing, because he's doing it for a lot of different reasons. It's not just bolstering the club now, but it's also getting that bonus pool money. It's also managing the 40-man roster and keeping guys from being exposed to the Rule 5 draft.
You know, the one thing with Severino, I think it was Paul O'Neill. It might have been O'Neill's last start. He was talking about how the one thing that seems to not be there is the bite on the slider. So if that's I don't know that rest comes from that as much as that just might just – he's not snapping it, whatever the case may be. You mentioned extended rest. You know, they didn't pitch him against the Mets coming off the All-Star break.
Because I think they wanted to give it right. Give him that. And then
so
I'm wondering –
we give him 2 weeks off now?
I don't know. I'm thinking that there's something going on. I'm not saying that I'm right.
I think guys go through hills and valleys in a season, and he has been much more good than bad. If this is the worst you're going to get out of him, and I think you'll find out another starter.
Overall, he's been much more good than bad. But
right.
But over the last four starts, he's been really bad.
But rare for a guy to go an entire season without a little bump in the road.
I know that, and that's why I just wonder whether or not they're going to decide to give him a little bit of a rest on the DL. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But at least this affords them the opportunity to possibly do that.
It's now, about one other thing, though, with the Lance Lynn acquisition and the trade. It's funny because you mentioned the Mets and international money. When it's them, no one cares. When the Yankees do it, how smart they are.
Oh, yeah.
If the Mets went out and they acquired Lance Lynn in a situation like this, and the little line underneath was, and they also got Minnesota to pick up half of the money, it would have been like, cheap old Mets can't even pick it up. But that's another good move from Cashman to make Minnesota pay. I think he's owed $4 million over the rest of the season. Minnesota's paying two of it.
And guess what else? This means that the Yankees are not going to cross the luxury tax threshold. This is something that both Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman have been talking about for months and months and months. I don't know how all this stuff is going to work out. I don't know how the Britain thing is going to work out. I don't know how the Hap thing is going to work out. We don't know how Lance Lynn's going to work out. There's also talks about him trying to find another outfielder because Clint Frazier is not ready yet. You know, who that outfielder is, it going to be like, you know, a Curtis Granderson?
I saw that.
I mean, yeah, I don't
man
know.
Can.
But, you know, the interesting thing is Brian Cashman is not, you know, resting on his laurels for any stretch of the imagination. So, if my team and I'm rooting for the Yankees, I'm jacked about what my GM is doing. He is basically just tinkering like with the bottom five guys of his roster, trying to figure out ways to protect all the young guys that he has that he does not want to expose to a Rule 5. He's adding to the bonus pool money. Plus, he's bringing in legitimate major leaguers, much like he did at last year's trade deadline, to support and bring, you know, and to fortify this the bullpen and I guess the starting pitching.
And he's had to do that because as they had a nice day off that they enjoyed, the Red Sox were shut down by Aaron Nola and still won the game because Odubel Herrera had a couple of mind lapses. Astrubel Cabrera had an RBI double in that game, which was kind of neat to see him, you know, do well.
Well, I would have much rather seen him in a Red Sox uniform. Honestly, I thought he would have been perfect.
I think
for
they
them.
Got Ian Kinsler, I believe.
Yeah,
who I didn't realize is 37 years old already.
Yeah,
and I was looking at, and we'll go through some of this maybe because I have a little plan for the Mets going forward.
Okay,
I was looking at some of the free agents that are going to be available. I'll tell you, aside from Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, everybody is 30 years older and 30 years
so
old and older.
This is going to be another litmus test for the Major League Baseball Players Association.
For
because
sure.
I am telling you right now, with the length of these controllable years for these players, combined with the general managers not spending on players
right.
over 30 years of age, Major League Baseball Players Association needs to do a reset. They need to be active. Tony Clark and these guys better be paying attention because I could see it. I could see what's happening, and I'm not even a Major League Baseball player.
I'll tell you what's going to happen is some sort of a work stoppage soon.
There's something there is a
that's down the line. I hate to say that, and we haven't had one in a long time. It is coming though because the reset hit them hard last year. And when you look at the ages of these free agents coming up, if you're the Mets and not just the Mets, but all these teams that refused to hand out big contracts, aside from the Red Sox and J.D. Martinez, who didn't get what he wanted to get, you're looking at the ages, and I'll go through some names later that are available that I think would make the Mets much better when you look defensively and even offensively as well.
But how aggressive are they going to be?
You've got to be two-year deals. Yeah, they have to be. You can't give a 31-year-old 7 years.
I understand that, but are the players going to be excited? See, this is the whole thing that's going on in the business of baseball.
But if they're not, they're going to sit out until March again.
I understand that, and this is why the Major League Baseball Players Association better not become the NFLPA and become irrelevant. I mean, because we had Todd Frazier in here. You know, I could hear the disgust in his voice talking about some of this stuff and, you know, talking to some of these other players around the league. You know they're all concerned. They are, because in the old days it used to be, hey, you get over 30, you're going to be a free agent. We're going to spend the money on you, and you are going to reap the benefits of a great career. No longer is that the case.
Part because a lot of these 20-year-olds are excelling much faster, and they're so good and dynamic,
and they're under control, and they're not making any money.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think about Jacob deGrom. He's 30 years old, and he's finally getting to arbitration.
Correct.
And luckily for him, he's going to be hitting it at the right time that may force the Mets to sign him to a long-term contract.
But in part two, because he didn't come up when he was 19 years old. I mean, that's part of it.
You got to get to the major leagues. But still, I mean, you know, do you see the Mets giving him a 7-year contract?
Listen, we've been through this. This offseason, I would give him a 5-year extension and move on. Make him a Met for life.
Buy him out his 2 arbitration years. Figure out what those numbers are going to be.
Or I would say, listen, you got your next 2 years arbitration. Tack on 3 with the extension. Make it a 5-year deal. Pay him well. And then he's 34, 35. He's made his money.
You would like to think that would be the case. Because for every guy like Jacob deGrom that should hit pay dirt, there's a guy like Matt Harvey who sacrificed for the Mets in so many different ways and also screwed himself, don't get me wrong, but sacrificed for the Mets in so many different ways that basically missed out on his
But isn't that the example on sometimes why you don't do it? If you have – see, for me, DeGrom's different because I have no issues with him being the face of the franchise. He says all the right things. He does nothing but go out and pitch. There were concerns, and we sat here for years and talked about Harvey and the nightlife.
When Matt Harvey was good, he was as good as there was.
Agreed.
And you know what? He blew through an innings limit and then came back to it with thoracic outlet syndrome. And I remember arguing over and over and over and over again.
And that and a dollar would have given you a dollar.
About him blowing through his innings limits. And he blew through his innings limits.
But you know what? You can't have
what happened
but
the
hold
next
on.
Year.
You can't have it both ways. We killed the Nationals for shutting down Steven Strasburg in what looked like a World Series year. And then when the Mets had that opportunity, we can't kill them now because of what happened later. Point is, there were concerns and questions about Harvey, and that's the reason you don't do what they did. To me, DeGrom's different.
But all right, that's the great Jerry Recco right there. We'll be arguing about this all morning this morning. Congratulations to Sam Darnold getting that big new contract, getting into camp with the New York Jets, exactly what should have happened. And Jerry's wearing his yellow shirt. Looks like he's a front office manager for the Spirit Airlines.
Let's be honest. How good does this look? I don't want to hear from Al.
No, it's positive.
Okay.
The yellow shirt and his time on the beach, he's very tan.
Yeah.
Jackie, just a thumbs up or thumbs down? 2 thumbs up.
I could see him walking around JFK, you know, working for Spirit Airlines in that shirt.
Not sure I'm getting that whole reference.
Well, whatever.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.